Honey, the biggest problem in the world is that the walnut trees aren't producing walnuts anymore. And the apple trees aren't producing apples anymore. And the grapes aren't growing. And this is all being caused by carbon emission. The biggest problem in the world is global warming. And he described this as being a conversation where his life was changed. And now he structured his whole life around addressing this problem of global warming. And he travels around the country speaking to churches about the Christian theology behind environmentalism. And as I sat there and listened to this guy's lesson, I was thinking in my mind, is this right? Is this really the biggest problem in the world? And I came to the office Monday and I sat down at my desk and I decided I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to find out what the biggest problem in the world really is. And on top of that, I'm going to find out what the solution is too. And I got to do it before Friday because I got to preach Sunday. So that's basically what I did all week. And I tell you what, I thought for a little while I bit off more than I could chew. Because this was a very big study and a big question. But Monday, after I figured out what I wanted to preach on, I went to the sage of our age. I asked the smartest being in the world what I thought, or what a lot of people think is the smartest being in the world, Google, what the biggest problem in the world is. So I sat down and typed into Google, what is the biggest problem in the world? And hit enter. And then pages and pages and pages of things came up that I was looking at. And I went through, and do any of you guys Late Show fans? Any Late Show fans? It's okay to say you are in church. But I went through and formulated this top 10 list of what secular society says is the biggest problems in the world. And what I'm going to do is just, I'm going to give them to you and give you a brief explanation. Number 10, species extinction. A lot of people are worried about this, right? They say that human activities are causing a massive extinction of species, the full implications of which are barely understood. And you look down, commercial fishing, they say we are just going to empty the oceans. And I like watching this show sometimes, Deadliest Catch. According to these people, it's a lot more deadly than we think. And modern agricultural practices are stripping the earth of its thin layer of topsoil through water and wind erosion, destroying this precious micro-ecosystem that takes centuries to form, supports all life on land. And have you guys heard about the bee problem? The problem with the bee population? They say that the bees are becoming extinct, and since they pollinate much of what we eat, it's going to cut off our food supply. Has anybody heard this? Nobody? Okay, a few. This is a big problem to a lot of people, but is this the biggest problem in the world? A lot of people think radical Islam is the biggest problem in the world. Destabilization of modern civilization by terroristic attacks carried out upon civilian populations. Modern day problem is an assault upon the ideals and expression of freedom and has the potential to convert free societies into police states. Any of you done any traveling lately? Gone to the airport after September 11th? It changed things, right? But is it the biggest problem in the world? Some people think so. Number 8, war. Civil wars in small, poor countries caused untold suffering, and half of them are renewed flare-ups of recent conflicts. And I didn't know this, but a single conflict can cost $250 billion or more. It takes many years to recover from, can block all other humanitarian interventions, and a large-scale war in current times has the potential to destroy modern civilization as we know it. Now, there are people that structure their lives around anti-war activism. I'm sure some of you guys have seen the lady in the news whose son died in Iraq, and she goes around the country now preaching anti-war. She goes and protests, gets arrested a lot. And there are a lot of people like her. And that's because if you ask them what the biggest problem in the world is, they would tell you it's war. A lot of people think nuclear proliferation is the biggest problem in the world. Now, I know a lot of you guys in here have lived through the Cold War, and you remember the tension between the United States and Russia, and you remember how scary some of those times were. My mom and dad tell me about some of the stories and things they had to go through and situations where the whole world was so tense because they had enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world like 50 times or something, and they were aiming them at each other. Well, nowadays, with the rise of radical Islam and with people like Osama bin Laden and countries like Iran developing nuclear weapons now for them, some people see that is the biggest problem in the world, because that could spark this nuclear war that the whole world is scared of. And so we've got to stop nuclear proliferation, is what they'll say. That is the biggest problem facing us today. Number six, and this is one that's close to my heart, malnutrition and hunger. Despite significant reductions in income, poverty in recent years, undernutrition remains widespread. Recent estimates from UNICEF are that one out of every four children under five, or 146 million children in the developing world, are underweight for his or her age, and that each year, undernutrition contributes to the deaths of about 5.6 million children under the age of five. Now, isn't that sad? There are a lot of good missions that are addressing this problem, but is it the biggest problem in the world? Number five, the global water crisis. This was news to me, but a lot of people are really afraid of what's going to happen with our water supply. This says, water, the essential ingredient for life on this planet, is becoming an increasingly scarce resource. According to the World Bank and World Health Organization, 2 billion people lack access to clean water, and 1 billion people do not have enough to even meet their daily needs. Every day, an increasing amount of pollution seeps into rivers and lakes, making them toxic to humans, and underground aquifers, our most significant sources of water, are being depleted at an alarming rate. If current trends continue, more and more usable water will be lost while the world population continues to grow larger and larger. Might run out of water. Number four, this kind of goes along with running out of water. The problem is global population growth. A lot of people see the world is currently growing at a rate of 79 million people per year. That's the size of Germany. That's more than ever before, more growth than ever before. And as more time passes, that number will rapidly increase. The world population is predicted to be over 10 billion people in 40 years and will rapidly increase as the ever-growing human species continues to grow. And this is a little chart to kind of show you where we're at. Look at this. The population growth through the years, through the centuries, and then it spikes about right around 1960. I wonder if that had anything to do with that little revolution. And it has continued to grow. And they're saying it is never going to stop. It is going to keep going until the world is so saturated with people that it's just going to deplete all the resources. And we've got to do something to stop it. Because if we don't stop this problem, starvation and epidemic disease will. And so a lot of people see this as the biggest problem in the world. But is it? What about this one? You guys heard the term peak oil thrown around? Anybody? Petroleum powers 96% of the transportation on the planet. And it is the key ingredient in plastics and fertilizers. Its integral role in human civilization cannot be overestimated. Without it, modern life would be impossible. And it goes on to say that the developing world is being led by China and India right now. And basically what is going on is what scientists and business leaders have warned us against. That is that peak oil, the point at which global petroleum production reaches its maximum level and begins to drop. That's what we're facing right now. Now, I'm a visual learner, so this chart kind of helped me understand. Basically, people say we're either right here or we're right here, but the demand for oil is going to keep increasing because we're building more and more cars and more civilizations are becoming industrialized, which means the prices that are high now are just going to shoot through the roof. So those gas prices you're paying right now to fill up your car are just going to get higher and higher, and that's why these alternative sources for energy need to be developed. And a lot of people see this right now as the biggest problem in the world. What about this one? You guys been watching the news lately? Global economic collapse, scary thing. Global economy binds together the fate of the international community and all the member nations, precludes the possibility of a third world war. Ideas are able to be disseminated all over the place because of this. And the U.S. is the largest and most powerful economy. And our housing market is coming undone, which is basically the bedrock of our economy. Now, many experts believe we're on the brink of a depression. And they say that if this happens, if the markets fail, our way of life in this civilization is going to change. You're not going to be able to take the trips that you wanted to take. You're not going to be able to buy the food or go out to restaurants like you wanted to. You're going to have to limit and live more frugally because money's not going to be as abundant. Your lifestyle's going to change, and a lot of people see that as the biggest issue facing us. Number one, global warming. You type in what's the biggest problem in the world on Google, and this is what's going to come up primarily. A lot of people see this as the biggest problem in the world right now. Basically, greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere, causing the world to warm up. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but the advocates of global warming tell us that the reason this is such a big deal is because the human civilization has evolved over millions of years. And a life on this planet has evolved over millions of years. And if you change the conditions which caused evolution to be successful by changing the chemical composition of the planet, you're going to mess up the evolutionary process, thereby destroying the human race and all life on this planet. The global warming argument, at its core, is an evolutionary argument. That's what causes it to be such a big deal. There we go. Al Gore, you guys have seen the movie, An Inconvenient Truth, maybe. Maybe not, but that is the film that put this at the forefront of everything. Al Gore says that global warming is the most dangerous crisis we have ever faced by far. It has the potential to wipe us out. Now, I got a question for you. This is what the secular world is saying. Global warming, nuclear proliferation, all these top 10 things. Are these valid problems? This is yes, this is no. Are these valid problems? For the most part, yes. Now, some of them, they're debatable, maybe not. But are any of these the biggest problem in the world? That's my question for you this morning. Well, do any of these take into account what the Bible says? I would say not. Now let me ask you a question. I've got my Bible here this morning. Why do you think it's important to see what the Bible says? Let me tell you. Because the Bible is the mind of God. The Bible holds the key to what God thinks about the world. The Bible tells us what God loves and what God hates. The Bible tells us how God sees the world. And as a result, it should tell us how we see the world. Now, I know we get made fun of as followers of Christ for seeing the world through this. And Oprah Winfrey and Bill Maher and others, all these celebrities, they make fun of Christians for using this as their lens through which to view the world. But if there's a God in heaven who created everything, who created the heavens and the earth and the entire universe, who created the stars that are in the sky and can number them and knows each one of them by name, who knitted you together in your mother's womb, who made you fearfully and wonderfully and can number the hairs on your head, who has told you that He loves you and that He wants the best for you and He wants to see you fulfilled in your life and He wants your life to have purpose and He wants to see you blessed. If He's the one that is real and that is there and that is telling you these things, and He tells you to look through this as your lens to see the world, who cares what Bill Maher and Oprah Winfrey are saying? Who cares? If God says use this as your lens through which to see the world, then we ought to see the world through this lens. Can I get an amen on that? That's what I believe. And you know, you can ask this thing questions. You can ask it questions. I'm serious. And sometimes the answer is fuzzy, but other times the answer is crystal clear. Like, for instance, on the fuzzy part, last week somebody came to me last week and said, is the bailout bill biblical? The $700 billion bailout bill, is it biblical? And I said, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. You could argue it either way. But if you came to me last week and said, what's the biggest problem in the world? And I ask the question to the Bible, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. Now, in order to ask the Bible a question of this magnitude, I mean, such a far-reaching question with so many possibilities, you got to take a step back. And you got to say, well, why do we have the Bible in the first place? Well, how do you find that out? The Bible's written in two testaments, the Old and the New. And in order to find out what the purpose of a testament is, you need to break it down even further into books. And so what I did last week, and this took a lot of time, was I went through and I broke down every single book. And I'm not going to run through these because we don't have time this morning, but I will post these on my blog later on in the week. There we go. But I went through and I looked at every single book in the Bible. I mean, I went through cover to cover. And I didn't study them in depth, but I have before, and I just kind of refreshed my memory. What is the Bible all about? And I'm going to give you some general themes that we find in the Old Testament, okay? The Old Testament establishes the role of God as creator of the world and the supreme sovereign power in the universe he created. It gives us an account of sin's introduction into creation by Adam and Eve, by the fall, through the fall of humanity, and the subsequent barrier that developed between God and man. It tells of God's covenant promise to the descendants of Abraham and the divine selection of the Jews as the people through whom God would bless the world. And it gives us a historical account of God's moral law revealing his righteous character being passed down to the chosen Jews with the understanding that obeying God will bring blessings while unfaithfulness will bring curses. And much of the Old Testament is a historical account of God's reaction to Jewish unfaithfulness, including disciplinary action taken against them, often through other nations, calls to repentance, and God's restorative work among them when sin is turned away from. Ultimately, the entire Old Testament, now get this, the entire Old Testament is a story about redemption. God taking the initiative through the Jews to bridge the gap sin created between himself and all of mankind. And the Jews weren't chosen simply to be blessed themselves. Rather, they were chosen as a vessel through which the rest of the world would be blessed. And they sort of forgot that in the first century. We were talking about that this morning. Ephesians. But almost everything in the Old Testament, past the covenant promise in Genesis, everything either points back to that or it points forward to the establishment of the Davidic throne, which is the Messiah. Now you test that. Can you hit the next slide? Or just push it once? It's not working. There we go. The overarching theme of the Old Testament, Genesis 12:3. This is a theme verse for the whole thing. It says, I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. This is God talking to Abraham. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, what I want you to get from this is the Old Testament is a story of redemption. That is what it is. It is a story of man being separated from God and God taking the initiative to bridge that gap. Because there's this vast chasm between mankind and God. And it's just a story about God moving closer. That's the key word, is closer. Then I went through the New Testament and I broke down all the books. Again, these will be posted on my blog. But the Gospels provide us, these themes of the New Testament, Gospels provide us with an account of, defense of, and affirmation for belief in Jesus Christ as the embodiment of God on earth who died to pay our sin debt. New Testament chronicles the activity and spread of the early church, people united in spreading the good news about Jesus' sacrifice to permanently reconcile man to God. New Testament also chronicles the divine activity of the Holy Spirit who worked to lend credibility to the claims made regarding Jesus. And epistles or letters written by early church leaders address specific situations and problems surrounding the first century church and serve to rebuke bad behavior and false doctrines distorting the teachings of Jesus, or to encourage early Christ followers to continue in their faith. Now this is neat too. The whole of the New Testament, the Gospels and the letters, either point back to the person of Jesus, or they point forward to His return. So what do we get from this? It's doing it again. There we go. The overarching theme of the New Testament can be summed up right here, John 14:6, where Jesus Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." All right? So we have just, in 10 minutes, broken down the entire Bible. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, taken together, what is the entire Bible? Why do we have the Bible in the first place? We have the Bible to address the biggest problem in the world. And the biggest problem in the world is that there is a vast chasm, a separation between mankind and God. But it gives us an answer in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bridges the gap between mankind and God. And that's the whole of the Bible. You want to know what part of the reason the biggest problem in the world is the biggest problem in the world? Because the world doesn't know what the biggest problem is. That's part of the reason it's such a big problem. Do you know that out of all 10 of those things we listed at the beginning of the lesson, that not a single one of them has eternal consequences? Global warming, nuclear proliferation, none of them have eternal consequences. The only thing that has eternal consequences is the gap between God and man. And did you know that the Bible says that one single soul is worth more than all of the material wealth in the whole world? In Matthew 16:26, it says, "What good is it if a man gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" We have got to understand as a church that this world is afflicted with a disease. Did you know that every single person that lives in this world is afflicted with a disease? The disease of sin. And did you know that the disease of sin is 100% terminal? Every single person that is afflicted with this disease is going to die. There's no way around it. The only way to live is to have the cure administered. And that cure is Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the Bible. Now, I got a question for you this morning. As brothers and sisters in Christ who know that there is no hope in the world without Jesus, who knows that there is no purpose in the world without Jesus, who knows that there is no peace in the world without Jesus, who knows that there is no point at all in the world without Jesus, are you part of the solution? That's my question to you this morning. And you know, the apostles were. And look at where it got them. Peter, executed in Nero's circus by being crucified upside down. Andrew, torture went on for 2 days until he died. James was arrested and beheaded. Thomas, killed by thrusting a spear through his side. Matthew, pinned to the ground and beheaded. Philip, crucified upside down by being pierced through the thighs and then was stoned on a cross. Bartholomew, arrested, beaten, and crucified. Jude, martyred by a barrage of arrows. James, son of Alphaeus, stoned to death. Simon the Zealot, sawn in two. John, the only disciple that died a natural death, but he was exiled to an island for his faith. Now, why in the world would anyone in their right mind allow that to happen? Church, it's because the 12 knew what was at stake. They understood the ministry of Jesus. Do you understand that the ministry of Jesus only had one point and one purpose? And he hints at it all through Luke with the things like the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost son. But then in Luke 19:10, he just comes out and says it. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And he also said things like, I didn't come for the righteous, but for sinners, to call them to repentance. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. The whole point of Jesus' ministry was to address the biggest problem in the world. Now, Ariel and I are going out to San Francisco with our kids because we want to be partners with you in addressing the problem there. But I want you to understand that the problem isn't limited to San Francisco. There are people right here in Brownwood that don't know Jesus Christ. And there are people right here in Brownwood, possibly a neighbor, possibly the clerk at the gas station, possibly the person you're sitting next to at the football game on Friday night, possibly the parents of some of the kids your son or daughter plays with. There are people right here in Brownwood that are in trouble. And there are people right here in Brownwood that are facing the only problem in the world that has eternal consequences. And there are people here in Brownwood that need a helping hand. Evangelism doesn't start with you going and beating somebody with a Bible. It could be as simple as you inviting somebody over for dinner. It could be as simple as you just spending time with people, letting them know that you love them. That's where it starts. It ends with you telling Jesus about it. Showing them how you live. And then verbally telling them why you are the way you are. That's our job. You know how I know that? The Bible says so. You know what the greatest problem in the world is? You know Jesus Christ is the answer. Do you know the purpose of the church? Well, let me give you a hint. It's not a social club. The purpose of the church is to reveal Jesus to the world. Now, Kenwood DeVore was here a couple of weeks ago, and he said something. He said, the church is the answer to our community problems. And I've got to respectfully disagree with him. The church points to the answer of our community problems. The church points to Jesus Christ. That is our job. In Ephesians 3, starting in verse 10, Paul writes that his intent, talking about God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The church, folks, is meant to grow. The church is meant to be an equipping organization where our job as leaders is to equip you as saints to spread the message of Jesus. That's why we're here. All right? Now, most of you here today know Jesus. So what's the world's biggest problem for you? You're taken care of, right? The world's biggest problem for you, if you know Jesus, is that there are people that don't. And you need to help be part of the solution. Now, there are some here today that don't know him. So what's the world's biggest problem for you? The biggest problem for those that don't know Jesus is that when God sees you, he sees your sin. And when God sees you, he sees the separation. And the thing you may not understand is that God has been reaching out to you since you were born. And God wants relationship with you. And a lot of people think that Christianity is about following rules and regulations, but Christianity is not about rules. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with God and relationship with his people and relationship with the world so you can tell them about God. That's Christianity in a nutshell. And you know there's good news? He offers us this gift of salvation. And he says that if we'll follow the teachings of his son, our life will be richer and fuller and more blessed than we ever dreamed. And that's the truth. Now this world has a big problem. Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? If you'd like to be part of the solution, come forward as we stand and sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord.